Chapter 7. Oliver is missing. At the workhouse where Oliver was born, Mrs. Corney was warming herself by the fire in her little sitting room. It was a very cold night, and snow lay upon the ground outside. She was about to begin her supper when there was a knock on the door.
"What do you want?" she called out impatiently. "One of the old women is dying, I suppose. They always die when I'm sitting down to my meals. Stop letting in the cold air and come in."
Mr. Bumble, who had stopped to shake the snow off his coat, came into the room.
"Good evening, Mrs. Corney," he said.
"Mr. Bumble," said the matron in a gentler voice. "It's terrible weather tonight."
"It is, Mrs. Corney. It makes the poor and homeless do nothing but complain, even if we give them bread and cheese to eat," said Mr. Bumble. "I've brought the wine you ordered."
He opened a parcel and took out a bottle.
"You'll have a very cold walk home, Mr. Bumble. Will you have some supper before you go?" asked Mrs. Corney.
Mr. Bumble agreed and sat down to share Mrs. Corney's meal. As they ate their supper and talked, Mr. Bumble moved his chair closer and closer to Mrs. Corney's until he was sitting right beside her. Just then, there was another knock on the door. Mr. Bumble jumped to his feet.
"Please, matron, come quickly,"
said a voice outside the sitting room door.
"Old Sally is going fast." "Well, I can't keep her alive, can I?" answered Mrs. Corney crossly.
"No, nobody can,"
replied the woman at the door.
"But she says she's got something to tell you before she dies."
Complaining to herself about the trouble old women gave her when they died, Mrs. Corney stood up.
"Will you wait, Mr. Bumble?" she said. "I won't be long."
She picked up her shawl and followed the woman to the room where old Sally lay dying. The room was bare, and a single candle was burning beside the bed where the old woman lay.
"Is she sleeping?" asked Mrs. Corney. "How long will I have to wait?"
She had turned to go when a cry made her look round. The dying woman had lifted herself up from the bed and was holding out her arms.
"Come here," she said. "Nearer, let me whisper in your ear."
She took Mrs. Corney by the arm and pushed her into a chair next to the bed.
"Now listen to me," said the dying woman when she and Mrs. Corney were alone. 10 years ago, a pretty young woman was here, in this very room, in this very bed. She gave birth to a baby boy, and then she died. And I stole the only thing she had. It was gold, I tell you."
"Gold?" repeated Mrs. Corney. "Go on. Who was this woman?"
"She told me to keep it safe," said old Sally. "Poor girl, she was so young, and the boy grew so like his mother."
"What was the baby's name?" asked Mrs. Corney.
"They called him Oliver,"
replied the old woman weakly.
"The gold I stole was..."
"Yes, what?"
cried Mrs. Corney. But old Sally was dead. While these things were happening in the workhouse, Fagin was at home when he heard a man coming down the stairs to the cellar. Toby Crackit appeared, taking a scarf off his face.
"What?" cried Fagin. "Are you alone?"
"Don't ask questions," said Crackit. "Give me something to eat and drink first. I haven't eaten for 3 days."
Fagin brought food and drink and watched impatiently as Crackit ate slowly.
"How's Bill?"
Crackit asked when he had finally finished eating.
"What do you mean?"
screamed Fagin.
"Where are Sykes and Oliver? Where are they hiding? Why haven't they come here?"
"The robbery failed," said Crackit quietly. "The boy was shot. We ran away through the fields and Bill carried Oliver on his back. The men from the house chased after us with their dogs. They were very close behind us. It was every man for himself. Bill had to leave the boy in a ditch."
Fagin could listen no more. With a loud cry, he ran from the room. He hurried through the streets, looking at no one, until he came to a pub, the Black Dog.
"Is he here tonight?" he whispered to the man at the bar.
"Do you mean Monks?" replied the man.
"Shh," said Fagin. "Yes."
"Not yet, but he'll be here later,"
answered the man.
"Tell him I came here to see him," said Fagin, "and that he must come to me tomorrow."
Then Fagin left the pub and hurried to Sykes's house. Nancy was alone, lying with her head on the table.
"She's been drinking," thought Fagin.
Nancy looked up when she heard Fagin come in.
"What news?"
she asked him.
"Where are Bill and Oliver?"
Fagin told her everything he knew.
"Oliver would be better dead than being with us,"
Nancy said when she had heard Fagin's story.
"Seeing him makes me hate myself and all of you."
"Listen to me," said Fagin. "If Bill comes back without the boy, you should murder him yourself the moment he comes into the room. That boy is worth hundreds of pounds to me. Am I going to lose everything because of 2 useless robbers?
"Leave me alone, Fagin," replied Nancy. "Bill has done many good jobs for you, and he'll do many more when he can."
She rested her head back on the table, and Fagin left her to sleep. Fagin had reached the corner of his own street when someone in a black cloak came out of the shadows towards him.
"Fagin,"
whispered a voice close to his ear. "I've been waiting for you for 2 hours in the cold. Where the devil have you been?"
"Doing your business," replied Fagin. "Let's talk inside."
They went quietly into the house and up the stairs, not wanting to wake Toby Crackit, the Dodger, and Charlie Bates, who were asleep in the cellar. Fagin showed his visitor into a bare room with only a broken armchair and an old sofa, onto which the stranger immediately threw himself. Fagin put down his candle in the hall outside and went into the room, leaving the door open.
"Why didn't you keep Oliver here?" the stranger asked when he had heard about the robbery. "If you had been patient, he could have stolen hundreds of purses for you."
"It isn't easy to train him in the business, Monks," replied Fagin. "He isn't like the other boys. Remember what happened when he went out with the Dodger and Charlie and got caught? And didn't I get him back for you with Nancy's help? Although now the girl is beginning to like him."
"Kill her," growled Monks.
"Don't worry about Nancy,"
said Fagin. I know what girls are like. Nancy's heart will grow hard once Oliver stops being so soft-hearted and becomes a thief. And that's what you want, isn't it? For Oliver to become a thief. If he's alive, I can make him one. And if he's dead...
If he's dead, I'm not responsible. I didn't want him dead, cried Monks.
He suddenly jumped to his feet.
What's that? He said. There was a shadow on the wall. I saw the shadow of a woman in a shawl and hat.
The two men ran from the room, but the light from the candle in the hall showed only the empty stairs and their own white faces. They listened carefully. The house was silent.
There's no one here, said Fagin. Only Toby and the boys sleeping downstairs. You imagined it.
I saw it. I know I did, replied Monks,
who by now was shaking violently.
When I spoke, it ran away.
Well, let us search the house then, said Fagin,
picking up the candle. They looked into all the rooms, but each one was cold and bare.
You see, said Fagin, there's no one here.
No, said Monks.
And realizing that it was past 1 a.m., he suddenly left.